Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. Have you ever asked yourself, is now a good time to sell my business? Despite uncertainties in many areas, it is a serious question, and the answer, which may not be obvious, is a definite maybe. Many factors determine whether it is a good time to sell a business. Some are big-picture considerations, including the overall health of the economy, conditions in the capital markets, and tax policies and potential changes to them. Other factors have a narrower focus, such as whether other businesses in the industry have been sold recently, the company's financial status and growth prospects, and current shareholders, if you have any, and their priorities. All are important, but even in normal times, they are rarely all perfectly aligned. So even if today doesn't seem like the best time to sell, it is always the right time to prepare for a sale. You never know when an opportunity may come knocking at your door. Even after the COVID-19 pandemic is largely behind us, a number of industries face an uncertain road to recovery. The future is likely to bring a new normal rather than bringing us back to normal in many or even most sectors of the economy. That is not necessarily bad. Some will benefit greatly. For example, work from home and online schooling created a boom in home improvement projects and a huge demand for everything from fixtures and hardware to webcams and furniture and so on. Tech solutions that help manufacturers to manage new supply chains and support a decentralized workforce are needed. The U.S. and other Western countries are seeking to become less dependent on developing countries to manufacture pharmaceuticals and other essential items. The overall message is that there may be new, unanticipated ways that your business could become an important part of a larger entity strategy that may not have existed pre-COVID. The key to success is to prepare for an exit. Who hasn't walked through an open house, admiring enviously how the rooms are so uncluttered with everything in place? Of course, the owner spends months organizing and cleaning up, making minor repairs they had put off for years, even attacking the mess in the garage before putting up the for sale sign. Without that cleanup, the offer from buyers would be far lower than what the owners would otherwise attract. The same applies to selling your business. Business owners are reluctant to admit this publicly, but in Score, we've heard the following many times in private. I have no idea how to even start thinking about getting my business in a position where it would be attractive to buyers. I'm not ready to pull the trigger now, but I know I need to start getting myself educated. The first thing to know is that this is not something to be done over a couple of months after you have decided I'm ready. Even if you're not sure you want to sell, going through the preparation process can be extremely educational and beneficial now and down the road. Please note, it is a misconception to think that a business has to be growing with strong profit margins to be an attractive acquisition candidate. It helps, but even if the performance has been stagnant, there are many things a business owner can do now to improve how the company looks before actively seeking a buyer. Houses with blemishes still sell, and for a good price, as long as the owners make sure everything is in order, despite the fact there are some issues a buyer would want to address. But I'm not the one to tell you about the steps to sell your business. I have found someone who has actually done this a few times. His name is John Baruti. John is a new Score mentor and was a successful small business owner for over 30 years. He successfully bought, built, and sold several businesses. John also has a YouTube channel called Baruti Success. On his channel, he discusses starting, growing, and exiting businesses. John has been kind enough to give me permission to using the audio from his Selling Your Business video blog. So without further ado, here is John Baruti and his 15.5 steps to selling a business.
All right. How are you, my friends? Tonight, this is Baruti Success. How are you? I gotta apologize in advance. Yes, I took a energy drink. If you know me, you know I'm hyper as it is. So that just sent me off to the moon. It's 8 o'clock in my office tonight, and I figured, I was losing it. So swung back a little bit of energy drink. But regardless, we are here this week to talk about the 15.5 5 steps to sell a business. That's right. Stay tuned. Here we go. This is a lot of steps, right? I could have probably went, I don't know, 20, 30, 40. There's a lot of steps to selling a business. I cut it down to 15.5 for you. But if I go way into depth in this, this would be a 3-hour video. We're not doing that. All right, we're just going to go into the 15.5 steps. I'm going to give you a high elevation of the steps. But I'm a blogger now. Yes. Basically, it's my scripts for YouTube. But I'm putting them into blog form. And they're on my website. That's right. Go to the best bizlife.com. That's the best bizlife.com. It'll really give you an in-depth of my videos, okay? So let's get into it. Number one, get in the right mindset.
John, what are you talking about? The mindset? Did you go to the woo-woo world?
No, I'm not in California right now. I didn't meditate, although I probably should. So here's the reality. Selling a business is a big decision. Most likely, you've been in your business for years, if not decades. You've been growing it from this little tiny thing, and it's like part of your life. To make the decision to sell your business, it's a life-changing decision. So you have to get into the right mindset. You have to, I don't want to say convince yourself, but convince yourself that you want to sell your business. And you have to get into the right mindset. Selling your business, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of emotions. It takes a lot of everything. So if you don't gear your mind up for, okay, these are the reasons that I want to sell. I am 100% in. I am not changing my mind. I am definitely going to sell. That will get you to the end goal. Number 2, write down why you're selling the business. This is very important because the poop is going to hit the fan. I'm just being honest with you. And if you have it written down, Larry, this is why I'm selling my business. And when things go bad, I look at this list and I go, yeah, all of those are good reasons. I'm going to invest the money. I'm going to go to Paris. I'm going to start a new business. I'm going to be in a different business. Whatever your decisions are, it's written down. So when things get bad, you know to go to your list and you'll understand, okay, all right, I'm going to hang in there. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to fail my, you know, my employees that are, you know, that are counting on me selling and selling to a good business person or a good group of business people to keep going and have their jobs. I'm not going to fail them. Number 3, get your financial house in order. What does that mean? Not only do you need the finances of your company to be easily read. You have to gear those finances towards somebody to buy it. As a business person, as an entrepreneur, I don't want to pay anything more than I have to. So if I'm a going concern, I want to operate for the next 20 years. I'm not worried about how my figures look to someone that's going to buy. I'm worried about how do my figures look to the IRS because I want to capitalize on paying the least amount of taxes. Legally, of course, right? But there is a lot in the tax code that allows you to do certain things from depreciation to writing off trips with your family. Yeah, you can do that. And I'll tell you how. If your family is on your board of directors and you guys all go to Disney, in my situation, I owned an ice cream store. We went to Disney. What did we do? We went and looked at Disney ice cream stores. And you're like,
no, you didn't, John.
No, no. We really did. If you have any idea about our ice cream store and you looked at our apples, our dipped fudge apples, 9 times out of 10, those ideas came from Disneyland. Yeah, because those people are freaking geniuses. You know, what would we do? We'd go out to dinner and we'd talk about it and we'd see the pictures. What are we doing? Having a board meeting, 100% legal. So what is that vacation? Deductible. Now, for my taxes, I write that off. But for the sale of a business, I take those expenses out. I spent $15,000. Well, if I take the $15,000 and use it as an expense, it looks like the company didn't make enough money. So I back that out. Legally. So when you go and your prospective buyer goes, but John, I don't understand. Your tax return doesn't match with your P&L. Yeah, Larry, it doesn't. And I'm going to tell you why. X, Y, and Z, what I just said. Do I know he's going to do that or she's going to do that? No. I take that and I put those monies back in for revenue. These are the things. You need to sit down with your accountant and say, listen, Bob, I need these records to look excellent for a buyer. So I want to show this gentleman or woman that's buying my business, this is the real profits. How I spend those profits or expense the profits is my deal. I'm going to show you optimally how much money you're going to make. And that's why I'm saying you have to make sure your financial house is in order. You have to make sure those numbers you're giving over look pristine to a buyer. You're not fudging anything. You're not gray areaing anything. You're just working with your accountant. I don't want tax advantages. I want 100% profit advantages. This is what I want to show these people. Exactly what they'll make the most. Take out all the fluffy stuff. Number four. Step up your marketing and brand awareness.
John, what are you talking about? Aren't we selling the business?
Yes, yes, Larry, we're selling the business. But guess what? If you want to make the most money possible out of the sale of your business, you have to go to bat with your business. Maybe you've gotten a little lazy in the last couple of years. Maybe your marketing isn't as great as it used to be. Maybe it's not as great as it could be. Maybe you've taken your eye off the ball. For these 3 to 6 months, you're going to put your eye back on the ball. And you're going to go back and you're going to say, okay, how do we market this company better? Do we run a birthday program? Do we have some sort of marketing blitz? Do we go back to sidewalk sales? Do we do a buy one, get one, a BOGO? Do we put more Facebook ads out? Regardless, come up with a strategy to ramp up your marketing efforts because you want the most going to the bottom, to top line, to your revenue. And you want that before you list this business. And if they say, why the spike in business? You tell them, well, to be honest with you, I'm just showing you what this company can do. And I didn't even try that hard. This is me after being lazy after a few years, showing you, Mr. Buyer, that this business has so much more to go. Imagine if you come in and breathe new blood into this and you're off to the races. And they're going to say, yeah, you're probably right. I was thinking of that anyway. This shows them you're not in a stale business. You can market and you can ramp your business up. That goes right to number five, right? It's basically hand in hand. Increase your revenues. This all sounds simple, right? Well, why, John, why wouldn't I just do that if I'm in business for myself? Because, Larry, you're exhausted. You're done with the business. You don't want, you know there's a ton of profit and a ton of room to grow, but you're not the guy anymore. You're not the girl. You want somebody else to do it. That being said, you need to show that person that there's still room to run. So along with your brand awareness and your marketing, you're going to get your salespeople back out there. You're going to get back out there in the streets. Start knocking on doors. Remember what you did the first 2, 3, 5 years you were in business and you had fire underneath you? Do it again. Month, 2 months, that's it. You just need that little bit of a spike. So when the buyer looks and goes, what's this all about? And you explain it to them. Listen, my friend, I only did this for a month or two. You come in, you're off to the races. You're going to double, triple, quadruple sales. And I'm only charging X amount of money for the company. You want to show your company in the best light. Number six, step out of your business. This is so hard for most entrepreneurs. You know, for years, I preached to a lot of my friends, some of my really close friends. Listen, you're killing yourself. My dad died because he worked himself to the bone. Don't do what he did. Now, I should listen, right? But I didn't. But I give great advice. So, you know, you need to step out of your business for two reasons. For sanity, right? And nobody wants to buy a job. George, Larry, Steve, nobody wants to buy a job. The reason they're looking at your company is probably they want income. They want an asset. They want to add to their portfolio, their competition, and they want to roll you into something else. They don't want to babysit. They don't want to be driving a truck or doing nails or whatever you do, painting a house. They don't want to do any of that. They want a team to be doing that. And let me tell you something, you better have that team. And if you don't have that team, my friend, you got to build that team. I'm just being honest with you. You want to get the best bang for your buck out of selling your business, you put that team together if you don't have it. Is it going to cost you money? Yes. Is it going to cost you time? Yes. How many times are you going to sell a business? Maybe once, maybe twice, maybe 3 times in your lifetime. And you know, that's probably not going to happen. So you want to optimize how much you're getting for this business. And in order to do so, take yourself out of the business. It is non-negotiable. Right? Can you sell an owner-operated business? Sure you can, but not for most money. All right? So that's a big one. That's something that I had to learn. I learned it early on because my dad was everything. He was the cook. He was the candle maker. You know the stories. And when he passed away, The restaurant had to close. My mom, me, and my sister, we had to close the restaurant because my dad passed away. He thought nobody could do it better. Or he tried putting somebody in that position and it failed one or two times. Don't be that guy, right? Because you want legacy. And to have legacy, you have to not work in your business. And when I say work, you know, understand what I'm saying. You have to work in your business. You have to be the top, the head, the thinker, the person that's bringing the company along. But you don't have to be the ditch digger, okay? You shouldn't be that, all right? Number seven, put together a value add report. So I'll give you an example. I'll talk about me. So what I did with the ice cream store is when my wife and I had come to a decision that we're going to sell the store, I look at the store, I look at my business and say, would I want to buy this business? And the answer was kind of. Why was it kind of? Well, I had to look inside. I'm like, why didn't I love this? Well, I didn't love it because it didn't run itself enough. Whereas we didn't have a POS, a point of sale system. We didn't accept credit cards. We didn't have a ironclad system. We were running it for a long time and it kind of ran itself, but it didn't run like a clock. And if I'm buying something as an asset and I'm paying top dollar for it, A, I want it to run like a clock. B, I want it to be super profitable. And C, I want to have processes and technology to show me as a owner what the business is doing day to day, hour to hour, week to week, month to month. So I knew I had to add value. I had to go out and buy a POS system. Was that costly? Sure, it cost thousands of dollars, right? I offset it by now we're taking credit cards. So those people that went down the street and buying ice cream cakes because, you know, ice cream cakes were $20, $30, $50, $60. Some people, they didn't want to come to our store because they had to pay cash. Once we started with the credit cards, now we had more cake sales, more pie sales. Not only that, we were able to now do deliveries. And let me tell you something, deliveries was a game changer for us. It was during COVID. You know, my wife wasn't sure about it. I knew because I had friends that were ordering ice cream online. I knew it was something that we needed to do. So value add to your business. If I'm looking at my business and I don't own it, I'm theorizing I don't own it, but I want to own it. What are the pitfalls? What are the things that I could do to make it optimal? Is it a POS? Is it something as simple as paint the bathroom? Is it something as put new neon out in the signs or a new fascia on the building? I'm not talking major renovations here. I'm talking fix it up, spruce it up. If you look at it, you're like, yeah, I like this. And it runs itself. Your processes are all, I wrote down all our processes. I made a binder of, okay, you open the store A, you do this B, we do this C. Now we're closing the store. We do it A, B, C, D, E, okay? At the beginning of the season, how do we open the store? At the end of the season, how do we close the store? Multiple, step by step, I handed the new owners a binder. They basically had a look at it. Now, listen, they don't have to listen to it. They could do whatever they want. They're the new owners. It's their dime. But if you're a new owner and you have a successful business, you might want to pay attention to that list. If there's a list, if there's not, you're going to be like, especially if you're not an entrepreneur or this is new to you buying a business, you're not going to want to walk into something that you've never done with no plan. So put all those processes together. Value add, right? The other thing is do a value add report. What does that mean? Well, so after you do those things and you've done whatever, for me, POS and putting a system together, then you do a report, a white paper, let's say, and say, listen, these are the things I would do if I'm going to stay here another 2, 5, 10 years. What are they? Well, maybe I make a business within a business. For the ice cream store, it was maybe we do a shake-only business online. That's another revenue stream. Maybe we theorize about keeping the business open during the winter, which we never did. All these ideas that you could do to add to the bottom line. Are you going to do them? No, you're not. But you want to show them that there are so many other ways, so many things that you didn't do that they can do to make this business double, triple, quadruple. The reason being is because you're asking top dollar for this. You're not asking $20,000. You're asking whatever the market can bear. And you should get it if you're doing all these things, that it runs well, that you're showing them all the things that they could do in order to make it that much more valuable. Number eight, put together a timeline. A timeline? Yes. Yes, George. A timeline. So make a list of steps, right, that you want in the timeline. So now you've decided to sell the store. Make yourself a list because, again, I've told you, you're not just putting this up for sale tomorrow. You're selling this in 2, 3, 6 months, a year, as soon as you get everything together and as soon as you know you're going to make your most. So I'll give you an example. Number one, have a meeting with the staff to discuss how I can transition stepping away. Let's say you're an entrepreneur working in your business. Now you have to step away because we just discussed that you can't be working in your business. You have to work on your business. And especially if you're going to sell your business, you can't be digging ditches. So you're going to have a conversation with your employees. Listen, I'm going to step back. I'm going to give you guys, you're going to have more control. You're going to have, you know, more responsibility. I'm going to increase your pays. We'll have that discussion, right? But I need you to do more. Or if you feel overwhelmed already, we need to hire more. We need to hire a manager, a supervisor, a project manager, whatever it is, right? A GM, whatever it is. You need to hire it or bring up the people in your company. You have to have a meeting about that. You have to talk to them about that. And listen, here's something that is controversial, right? Should you tell your employees that you're selling? Now, that being said, I did. I told my employees, but I had extenuating circumstances. They knew I was sick and they knew I had to sell. So, and I, you know, I didn't guarantee everybody a job. I told them I'm going to do the best I can because I wanted them all to have a job. And for the most part, either they had a job to the new owners or they chose to go off to a new company. Now that's difficult, right? Because if your key people, you tell them you're selling and they choose to leave, it is a problem. I'm not going to be facetious. I'm not going to lie to you. So it is important that you keep it close to the vest while you're planning, right? While you're doing these steps, while you're figuring out your next step, right? And then, but at some point, you're going to have to at least bring your key people in and say, listen, this is what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to transition out for whatever the reasons are that you're going to do it. And you need to explain to them, I can't sell this business if you're looking to leave. You are intricate in the sale of this. Whoever is going to take this over needs you. Your job is not in jeopardy. If anything, your job is more valuable now than it was. Right? That's why I'm considering I'll give you more money, you know, maybe give them a bonus if the sale goes through, maybe give them a percentage, whatever you want to figure out with your employees, but you need them. And at some point you need to at least bring in the, you know, your head people and explain it to them because they need you to, you need them to help you transition. Okay. So you're going to have that meeting. Number two. And we've talked about, so now I'm writing this down. Okay, I have to put together a marketing list. We have to get together. We have to figure out what we're going to do. What kind of programs are we going to run? All right. Number three, run a 2-month advertising blitz, right? And again, these are the lists that you're making. Once you've come to the decision, this is what I have to do to get ready. Number four, call all your vendors, right? And if you need to bring in a new system or update your old system, get together with your vendors. Say, listen, what are you guys using? What do you suggest that I use? Is my system too antiquated? Can I upgrade my system? Do I need a new system? You need to start strategizing within the company, right? So again, you've written a number four. Number five, week four, I have to get together with all my professionals, right? And I need to meet with my accountant, my CPA, my financial advisor, right? That's number five. And again, this is a list within a list. Once you've come to the realization and you're going down this, now you're going to put a list together for you. So you check these things off as you did it. Because again, selling a business takes a lot of time. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts. If you don't have these things listed of the things you need to do, you're going to miss something. And if you miss something, it could be dollars that you're taking off of the top line of your sale, okay? So another example, I'm gonna make a list of any person, any entrepreneur, any person that's mentioned. You know what, Sally? If you ever sell this business, come and talk to me. You have a great business. You note that in your mind. And then when you go, right, before you go and list it to a broker or on a site that you have to pay for, you go and you call or give a letter or an email to each one of those people. That's what I did. I didn't wind up selling to any of them, but all the people that had told me that they were interested in buying either the bakery or the ice cream store, I emailed them all. And again, maybe it might not be those people, but those people might know somebody that, okay, well, you know what? Sally's selling her dry cleaners. It's not for me, but John, why don't you go talk to her? Word of mouth. You know, this way, I'm not paying the commission. I'm not paying all those extra fees. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but this is what I would do first. I would go and search those people that have mentioned it. Number seven, on week eight, now I'm gonna give myself a week to get all my papers together, all my contracts together, all my P&L, all my finances together. I'm gonna give myself 1 week. This is, you know, whatever. Number seven on my checklist of things to do. And I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take a week to do that. Number eight, now I'm gonna take a weekend and sit down with my family and tell them, listen, you guys need to be a part of this. Should I sell the business? Should we sell the business if it's a family business? What should we do? If we sell, X, Y, and Z will happen. If we don't, X, Y, and Z will happen. Go over it with them. Come to a family consensus, right? What I'm trying to tell you is make a list of all the things you need to do. Maybe there'll be 20 things that you need to do, and you check off each one as you go. All right. So getting back to the main list, number nine, go through all your contracts, employee contracts, customer contracts, vendor contracts. My suggestion is you sit down with your attorney, take a day, take an hour or 2 hours. I know these guys are expensive. What I would do is I would go through everything myself first. I'd go through all the contracts. And if there's something in the contracts that I'm a little wonky about, I'm like, this doesn't look too good for a sale. This might cause a problem. This might come up in due diligence. Maybe they're worried that this employee has to be paid this amount, or I've struck this deal with this customer, or this vendor says, that I'm personally guaranteeing this, so I have to make sure that goes to the new owner. All these things are issues, right? So again, you go through your contracts, you make your notes, you sit down with your attorney and say, hey, Sally, what do you think about these? These are the notes I made. Here's all my contracts. Please make sure you go through them. Make sure my liability is not going to be a problem if we sell this company, right? That's very important. Number 10, we're cruising along. All right, number 10, here we go. Should you use a broker? This is an interesting question. I used a broker for one business. I didn't use a broker for the other. Actually, no, I used a broker I used it in all the properties. No, I used a broker. I didn't use a broker to sell the bakery. I used a broker to sell the bakery's property, and I used a broker to sell the ice cream store and the ice cream store's property. Here's what I'm trying to say. I think you need to get all your ducks in a row. I think you need to do reach outs. I think you need to let people know that you are possibly thinking of selling, right? I think you need to tell strategic partners, people that you're doing business with. For me, it was other bakeries I was buying product from. And I went out and I said, listen, guys, we've talked about it before, but I'm really going to sell my business. Is anybody interested? And, you know, most of them say, yeah, we're interested. I made them sign an NDA, non-disclosure, and they all came down and looked at it. And, you know, most of them are like, you know, it's not a good time for us. It's not strategically smart for us. This, that, the other thing. The bakery, I finally wound up going with a partner that we were already dealing with. So it worked out. So I didn't need a business broker for the bakery. The ice cream store was different. We did the same thing. I reached out to all the people that had helped us over the years, people that were interested in the ice cream store. And again, they were all interested. They all signed NDAs, but I put it with a broker and she sold it. I think it was a lead off of BizBuySell or LoopNet or one of those. It wasn't the ML. Oh, it might've been the MLS. I'm not sure.
That ends part one of John Baruti's 15.5 steps to selling a business. Just to recap briefly what John covered in this segment. 1. Get in the right mindset. 2. Write down why you're selling your business. 3. Get your financial house in order. 4. Step up your marketing and brand awareness. 5. Increase your revenue. 6. Step out of your business. 7. Add value and put together a value add report. 8. Put together a timeline. 9. Go through all of your contracts, employee and customer. And 10. Should I use a broker? There is still more to come with this step, which will be covered next week. Next week, John will also cover the remaining steps, which are upgrade your professionals, your accountant, your attorney, and your business broker, create an inventory and asset list, value your business, identify potential buyers, discuss a tax strategy, and have a plan for what to do with the money from the sale. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Score Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, or any past show, You may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week for Part 2 with John Baruti and the remaining steps to selling a business. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then. For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.